Did I ever tell you that Tazon Dave followed me on Twitter?
Dude, that's pretty rad. We should see if he wants to join the Runewalk. Welcome to the Nightbird Radio Podcast. I'm Timothy Saylor, and I'm going to be your host this evening as we sound out the subconscious, navigate the nocturnal, and explore the farthest reaches of our experience, coming at you from the great forest, deep in the heart of the Kali Yuga. This is Radio for the Hauntological Turn. And welcome back, Nightbirds. It's great to have you back, and it's great to be back. I'm again joined by Lindsay Stark and David Payne. Louis Galindo could not be with us tonight, and we miss him, but he'll be back soon. How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing good, man.
Yeah, living the dream.
So, tonight, we're going to be discussing the next two runes in our rune walk, Gabo and Wunjo. And we're going to be talking about spending time with Valkyrie Skuggul. So, if any of you is just joining us, we're obviously doing a rune walk. You can listen to the past episodes to get more information on this. You can join us by joining the Nightbird Patreon at patreon.com. I think it's patreon.com/nightbirdradio. I probably should get that straight. Join us. It's only $3.33 a month. You'll get on our private Discord. You'll get all the information you need to join us. You can join at any time. You can jump in with us. You can start at the very beginning. There's no time locked nonsense or anything. You can just get right in it. And you can go ahead and immediately read all of our comments going back to the very beginning of this. So we're contacting the 13 Valkyries of the Grimness Wall and spending 2 weeks each of the runes of the Elder Futhark and asking the spirits of the Norns and these Valkyries to aid us in understanding these runes, reading them, knowing them true, and being empowered ever by their aid. How have y'all been doing since our last episode? We've had a little bit of time.
It has been a while. I really like how the last time we recorded, right after we wrapped, I had a crazy stroke of lightning, literally like visible hitting the ground from my house, caught stuff on fire, and then that night after recording, we started with Skuggul, and she let us know very quickly that lightning is one of her signs and portents. So it's always nice when they say hi to you outside of the imaginal.
Yeah, that's been going on a good bit too. That made me think when you were talking about that just now, I started thinking about, so there was a lot of like spear stuff with these runes and with this Valkyrie. You know, obviously her name means, it's like, doesn't her name mean spear bearer? What? Spear point.
Yeah,
she's the spear point. And there was a lot of spear stuff and there was a lot of lightning stuff. And, you know, it got me thinking actually just now how in like Buddhist mythology, the enlightenment is a lightning bolt, right? And in this, And in the Norse cosmology, inspiration comes by being pierced by Odin, right? I never thought of that before until now. But it's this piercing thrust that comes when we don't even maybe expect it. That satori, that inspiration, that frenzy even. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of spear stuff. Like we talked on the Discord a lot that like a whole lot of the stuff that came up really reminded me a lot of like Furbo practice, like in Vajrakula practices, like in Tibetan Buddhism, with like the spear point being like the ultimate point of like holding down reality and like everything else moving around that, and like you know, using the spear like they would at the Furba in those practices to like destroy obstacles, or like for pinpointing like magical intent and different things like that, and like kind of getting this whole Norse Odin Gungnir focused like Vajrakulaya practice almost like developing, especially with Wunyo stuff, not so much with Gebo, but even Gebo, I was like looking back through my notes, is a lot of the stuff still had like heavy spear imagery.
Yeah, me too, for the Gebo stuff. I was in the journey at least once pinned down by a spear and splayed in the form of the Gebo cross and like spinning around. So definitely there. And, you know, we have these runes that are like, it's like giving and generosity and joy and perfection and the wish, you know? It's like all this pretty badass stabby stuff. So let's go right into Gebo then, since we're talking about it already. Let's do the poems to get some, you know, get some primary source info on the Gebo rune.
Yeah, I can do that. So Gebo, literally means gift, and it's all about gift giving and gift receiving and generosity, and is, you know, corresponds to the letter G. It's also one of those that only exists in the Elder Futhark, is not in the Younger. So we only have one rune poem for it, the Anglo-Saxon rune poem. So we have here. Generosity brings credit and honor, which support one's dignity. It furnishes health and subsistence to all broken men who are devoid of aught else. But obviously, you know, there's a whole lot about generosity in the Habimal. So there's still plenty to think about related to Gebo in the primary sources if we want to dig in there.
To me, this one really hits on the, like you said, that Havamal stuff about basically talking about the truly courageous person is generous with what they have. They're not afraid to give. But also the idea of like the stratification of their society was very gift giving based, right? Like if you gave a gift, it was almost like this oath where you were getting a gift back. It was this give and take thing that intertwined people with one another, but also like the political system, right? Like the Lord was the giver of rings to his thanes, and they expected to be taken care of in his service. Like, and it went all throughout the society.
Yeah, I mean, it also gives out like even like warnings about gift giving in a sense too. Like, you know, it talks about not to give something so big that the person that you're giving it to like is now under this burden to reciprocate. Like, you're always supposed to give in a way that benefits the other person, not puts burden on them or an expectation upon them too. So it's like really all about like more community building than, you know, so much like just dumping huge wealth on somebody and expecting like, you know, favors in return. Like, I think that's kind of like the aspect of it, is it's that you're supposed to be building this long relationship with people through like little acts of kindness and little acts of gifts and little things like that, as opposed to like throwing your status around, you know?
Yeah. Or like, that's really interesting to think about. Like basically cursing someone with a gift. Like if right. you were like a king and like some poor wanderer came into your court and you gave him like this lavish gift, he would be all of a sudden like immediately almost in breach of hospitality because he doesn't even have anything to give. That's interesting.
But it's funny when you read some of the sagas too, like that's almost done intentionally. Like sometimes like, you know, like Odin will show up in a form and give somebody a gift that's so big that they basically have no other choice but to do everything he says that.
Oh, that's, yeah, that sounds like our guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I now saved your life. So, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I also really like the part of Gebo that's the, I'm sure everyone knows somebody who's like really shitty at receiving gifts and who makes it weird and who doesn't show either is not gracious or is weirdly like can't just accept something in the spirit in which it's given. And I think that that's a big part of the Gebo journey for me was about that graciousness and gratitude and the ability to accept gifts, both, you know, a gift given like by, you know, a human and then like the greater gifts of existence that we all have and being able to integrate those and show the appropriate amount of like gratitude for them, which is, you know, a really useful practice. No matter where you are in terms of your level of, you know, prosperity and flourishing.
Yeah, I like that. Like, it's like what holds communities together. And when you think of gifts, you can think of like, what gifts do I have that I can offer to my fellows? Like, it doesn't have to just be like a cool sword. You know, it can be like your gift of, you know, being able to volunteer your time or, you know, a skill that you have that you're willing to offer to the community.
Yeah.
My connection and how, is unstable. So sorry if I come through weird.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, but it also goes in the other way too, though. It talks about like not overextending yourself too, because it talks about like, you know, it's better to give too little or to sacrifice too little than to, you know, give too much and then pay for it at the end, basically.
Yeah, totally. Because if you give, well, this is like the whole like oxygen mask on an airplane thing. Like if you don't put your oxygen mask on first, you can't help anyone else. So if you aren't in yourself in a stable position and you're giving everything you have, you're going to give away everything that like you're not going to have anything to build on because you're giving it all away. So it is like, yeah, for sure. It's like a grounded, stable giving. Like, I think we've all known people that like do magic and like they don't have a lot going on and they spend all their fucking money on like magic stuff. And it's like, bro, you have to secure a piece of sovereignty for yourself in order to like offer this back into the spirit world, because the spirit world, man, it'll fucking take you. Like, it'll take whatever you're willing to give, just like people will. People will take whatever you're willing to give. I've got plenty of people I've worked with that, you know, dude, they don't care if that you break your back. As long as you're doing their job and yours, they don't care. And why should they?
No.
Not to make it sound super harsh, but
no, I think there's good medicine in it, right? It's that balance between it's important to be self-sufficient and be able to support yourself, but it's also important to be integrated within community and be able to help others. And that's like really my, it's what sort of my whole philosophy around prepping type stuff is like, I want to have all of my shit together and be strong and competent so that when the time comes, I, you know, will be able to help other people. And then if I need help, to be able to accept it, but also to be able to like, to not be a, you know, flailing mess as soon as things go weird.
Yeah. Self-sufficiency is an important virtue in the Habermas, for sure.
Yeah. Self-sufficiency is a gift you give yourself and your community.
Yes. Because your community, you're no good to your community if you give everything and now you're fucking broken and like, you don't have, like, it's up to us to kind of. That's why I like Gabo as a cross. It's like this sort of very balanced image, right? It's like, it's not one-sided. You can't, there's no reverse of Gabo. That's always an interesting thing. So
it's one of the ones that can't be reversed. It can't be inverted. Like, it's the same no matter how you flip it.
Yeah, totally balanced.
Its inverse nature is integrated into it by its nature.
Yeah, it's a reciprocation. Like, it is. It is its own chiral opposite. Like, the gift and then the gift being returned are the same act. Like, it's the same thing. That's why if you break it, you're like, hey, Junebug. That's why Junebug agrees, man. That's why if you break that bond, you're like in breach of natural law, right? And that's an interesting thing because in my journeys, I did, like, you'd think that this one would be a little more chill, but like my journeys of this one were like, the fire and ice, the rivers of fire and ice, like flowing together in the gap and crossing each other. And it was like black holes and the wells that water the earth and like rivers crossing, you know? It was very cosmic. And I didn't expect that. I didn't expect a very esoteric Gabo, but I kind of got that with my journeys and my readings. How about y'all?
Yeah, my first Gabo journey was pretty standard, I guess. It kind of played out this whole thing of like two, I wouldn't say rival clans, but like two neighbor clans, like two neighbor communities, like back like in the Iron Age, right? And it was all about the interconnectedness of them. Like, you know, they're both growing two different types of crops and then they exchange stuff with each other. So they both have a little bit of everything. Exchanging gifts, bartering goods, like, you know, like marrying off their children to one another to rebuild their families and like strengthen the bond between their two families. But then the journey ended with the two oldest sons getting into an argument and starting like an all-out war. And like the last vision of the journey was both of them like impaling each other with spears, like forming a Gebo and like leaning into each other, basically like against the skyline, like 300 style, like this giant X in the sky of two impaled bodies.
Hell yeah.
So I got a lot of like the whole, not necessarily gifting, but just about the interchange of the two different groups constantly.
Well, I like that because it's like the give and take of cause and effect and fate, like the things that we put into the world that we have no idea what the reciprocation will be, but something always comes back.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was also the journey though that, the very last part of the journey when that all like the visions ended and just Skugul and talking to her, there was this part where she like pulled a jewel like out of my forehead and put it into her own chest and then pulled a book out and then handed me the book. And then it was either the next day or 2 days later, I was out in Benicia with my friend and just on a whim, we went into this one old bookstore that was like the only like used antique store there that had like a small little occult book section every once in a while. And then right on the shelf was a signed limited edition copy of Lees of Idrisil, which I was looking for a while. So picked that up right away and it was like dirt cheap too. So it was like definitely like a spirit led find directly after being shown a book in vision. Yeah, so that was pretty awesome. Cool.
I love that.
The other interesting gift thing that happened that I know a couple of us experienced were weird. This whole time thing that is coming up with on the Runewalk, where everything seems to be about time and space and the dead, and getting these like retrocausal healings and things happening that were sort of blanking out lifelong illnesses. And I think we alluded to this, the previous one, but it didn't really happen until we got to Gebo, I think, where I had for years, you know, years ago, diagnosed with ankylosing spondylitis, runs in my family, and went to a rheumatologist, like went through all the testing, did all that. Recently signed up for a study related to people with the illness who don't have symptoms to see if they could figure out what the, you know, what is it that make people not have symptoms? And they go to get the records from my dermatologist and say, like, they don't have any records of you like having this disease. They just said that you had like some inflammation. It was like, I definitely have a memory of being diagnosed, going through all of the everything. Like I have the genes for it. All of this, it was just really weird. So it's a sort of a retrocausal healing, which explains why I don't have, I don't have these symptoms anymore. And that is a big ancestral lineage thing for me. It's been an ancestral curse, and it's very, it was very spooky to have it happen in with all of this Valkyrie stuff around going back through timelines and living and dead simultaneously and all of this stuff that's been messing around. Like the Norns are just like, yeah, well, we'll snip that for you. We'll fix that up. Tim, you had something too, right?
Yeah, I want to say I talked about this on the last one, but I'll talk about it again. I had a lifelong allergy to milk. That like when I was a kid, it was like one of the only times I've ever gone to the hospital because it was like a serious scare of like I could die. I had my brother's milk and I had like went into anaphylaxis, all that stuff, right? My whole life I wasn't able to eat ice cream. Like ate like kind of when I was 14, 15, like teenager, I kind of became able to eat some dairy. But it would always like bother me. And if I drank milk, like it would like just like drinking a dagger. Like it would just immediately hurt my stomach. And that was always the case. And I've, you know, been giving the Valkyries milk as offerings. And like one day was out of almond milk and was like, fuck it, I'm going to try it. And like poured milk into my cereal and nothing, like not even an upset stomach. No tingly lips, which I would always get. No, like, itchy throat. None of that. No, like, gastrointestinal distress. I used to have to take Lactaid. Like, nothing. It's crazy. So, yeah. This speaks to the immense power of these runes. And, like, this isn't just... You know, if there was any illusion that this was just... Like, oh, this is cool symbolism. It's more than that. Like, this is the magic of our ancestors. This is the magic that was passed down to us from beings that gave us these tools to improve our lives, to make our lives better. That earned them at great cost and passed them on. And that itself is like a this Gebo thing, right? Like the runes are when one of the things one of the Valkyries told me and my automatic writings is the runes are taken and the runes are given. So you take them, you take them up, and then you pass them, you give them. And this has been going on. Like there's a reason why people are still working with them because they work. It's a very simple system. These things are very powerful, but not to be taken lightly either. You know, they hold vast oceans of information. And, you know, I would argue that they are, in a way, there's a legend in in the myths of Ragnarok, and the two, basically son and daughter of humanity, Leif and Leifthrasir, go into a tree and they survive the Ragnarok and they come out and the world begins again. And I'm very strongly of the opinion that the runes are a part of that. Maybe the runes of the tree that they hide in. You know what I mean? Like, these are branches of a tree that this information hides in and is able to come back in times of need. And yeah, it heals. Like we say in the call to the Valkyrie, give me wisdom and goodly speech and healing hands lifelong. And it's done that. It's absolutely done that. Excuse me.
As someone adjacent to the healthcare field, I should say, using the runes is not a substitute for medical advice.
Yeah. <it's, laughs> Nehu is also not financial advice. Like, you know.
Yeah. You know.
But like, pretty interesting.
Yes. The runes are grounded in.
I'll have to add the legal advice one when we get the TWAS.
Yeah.
Bro, but look, man, I'm going to tell you what. TWAS got me through some shit, bro. If you don't have a, if you can't afford a lawyer, TWAS will be provided to you. That's going to be some good story because, yeah, I'm excited for the runes coming up. But we were talking last night, like, I can't believe we haven't even gotten TWAS yet. We haven't even got to Lagus, Birkano. Like, there's so many good ones coming up, dude. IWAS is already popping up for me. I know it's like, it's like all of a sudden I'm seeing the tree in the journeys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves. What else do we need to talk about, Gebo?
The only other thing, like the second Gebo ritual or journey that I had, which I don't even really know how to like classify this or what it fits in, or if this was just like a weird personal thing for me, but like the second journey was like watching this young boy go through this ritual with like all the men in his family, and it was kind of like a Norse bar mitzvah or something. It was like, you know, becoming a man type thing, but it was like it almost followed like the exact same ritual that like a mason takes when they first become a Freemason, like the very first degree with like the noose and the shirt and everything, except it was all like Norse themed, like the whole, instead of being hit on the head with a hammer and dying and being raised, he was hung upside down from a tree and then put back up. And then like the noose was like a gallows noose that like the dead man hung from that Odin spoke to. And he had to speak to a, you know, a deceased body to give him the secret word. But it was like this whole weird Norse themed Masonic ritual for a young boy to become like a man within his family.
Well, that
I don't really know what it had to do with Gebo, but that's what I got shown for the last Gebo journey.
But Gebo has been a lot of like, like I said, like a lot of piercing, a lot of transfixion, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's also like, you know, the X of Gebo as like the crossroads. And like, that's yeah, something that's come up like way weeks later, like just recently. So this is almost, you know, months later from the time that we did this now. Of, I got shown in a dream a while ago of just getting two sticks and putting them down on the ground in the shape of Gebo. And that's like, that's your altar when you're out in nature. Of like, you're on one side of the Gebo and like the spirits are on the other side. And this is like the symbol with which breaches the veil so that you can communicate and give offerings and get advice and all of these type of things. Like, it reminded me a lot of, you know, like Robin Adenson has a book called like Anne Caro Gwynn, where he has this idea of like breaching charms, which are like these elaborate designs he makes out of like sticks and rocks for different operations. It was kind of like that same idea, but it was literally just a Gebo on the ground with you on one side, the spirits on the other, and then like on either side I usually did like a like an offering of like drink and like an offering of grain or something like that. But it was still just this idea of like Gebo is like the altar place that you meet and speak with the spirits.
Well, I really like that, because in my journey Gebo was the gap, and no coincidence that they're the same letter, right? Like, it is a, like, that is our primordial crossroad, like where the forces meet. I love that, man. That's really good. I'm going to have to use that. Yeah, like a coming together place, like a common ground. There you go. It's like where the...
Yeah. Yeah, I feel it like that spark of life, that ignition from nothing into something. It's really good.
Dude, yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, when you mentioned that, the gifts that... that were given to Ask and Embla at the very beginning, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Were Odin, Vili, and Ve? Or is it Odin, Vili, and Ve in that one? Or is it Hunter? I can't remember.
Well, there's the two versions. There are Odin, Vili, and Ve, or it's Odinger and Law.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like probably just the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giving us breath, giving us inspiration, giving us life. Yeah, I like it. I was going to say one more thing about it. Maybe I lost it. It'll come back if it wants. Anything else about Gabo?
This just occurring to me now is the idea, that image that's like from that it was lightning striking like the primordial ooze that forced the first, you know, molecules together into, you know, proto DNA. Like lightning is the could very well be the gift of life that we're gratitude for, which is again that like piercing thing that keeps coming up for Skogul.
Yeah, it's also probably like how, like, you'd imagine that's how we got fire, right? Like, oh shit, lightning struck this tree.
Yeah.
And I've seen that in my journeys too. I can't remember. I think that was
maybe the Kinos.
Yeah, the Kinos one. Yeah. And that keeps showing up. Yeah. And okay, so Freya Aswyn has. For, you know how she has the little illustration for each rune that's got like the little drawing of like what the rune like maybe represents? And this one is like Odin on the, like, he's like hung up on the cross, like in the fire, which is also very like, that's, you know, that's hitting my spots with this whole ritual of like taking the place of Odin in the fire and calling for the Valkyries, PGM style. There's just, like I said, like it was very unexpected. And I think that our conversation bears that out. Like it was unexpectedly very, there was a lot for this one that I was like, oh, you know, it's just like a feel good one. Maybe that was my expectation, you know, but it's like, whoa, there's way more going on.
Yeah. I don't think we've really had one so far that's just been like straight by the book. What exactly we would expect.
Exactly.
Almost all of them have kind of been like, yes, but, and then that's what the majority of the stuff is, everything other than what the standard meaning is.
Which I love that, man. It's like, oh man, we're getting our own. And you know, every rune book you read has their own little twist. Then some of it, it's strange, you know, like this whole time there have been these moments where like, I'll do the first journey and I'll purposefully not read the sections of the books. And it's like, some of them I've already read. So it's like, maybe this stuff just seeped into my subconscious and then I forgot it. But it's like, I'll do the journey and then I'll see a bunch of stuff and then I'll read like multiple books and it'll like a bunch of stuff will track for all of them. And I'm like, whoa, dude, there's a current going on here. Like, it shouldn't surprise me because that's been my experience ever since I started getting into like magic. But
yeah, you know,
it always is kind of exciting when it happens. Okay, cool. So that being said, let's move into Wunyo and get our poem for that one.
Yes. So, Wunyo, or joy, the W sound. And it is the rune that finishes out the first eight. So we will be with this, you know, one third of the way through the Elderfoot arc. And yeah, the similar to Gebo, it's only in the Anglo-Saxon rune poem. We have bliss he enjoys who knows not suffering, sorrow, nor anxiety, and has prosperity and happiness in a good enough house. Which is, you know, as true now as it was many years ago.
Material circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be a mansion. It's a good enough house.
It's interesting because this one was very New Thought coded for me. And that is like one of the things that Mitch Horowitz always talks about. Like, you know, it's a lot easier to like do magic when all your needs are met. Like you can do all this shit like when you're not like worried about your rent. So it's like, this is a noble aim, right? To have a stable life, but also like a worthy goal for magic, which brings us to my favorite. I'm into to Wunjo as the wish, because the German word Wunsch comes from Wunjo. It's very much to me, and what I was getting the whole time during the Wunjo weeks was that this is the magical intention. This is the vision of what we want. This is our hope for a better fate. This is like... It was almost had like a platonic ideal sort of vibe to it, but it was more like my ideal for how things could be and like, how am I going to realize that? Right. What about you guys?
Yeah. Like I got a lot of, like we were kind of saying earlier, a lot of like Gungnir spear imagery, like magical practice stuff. But during the visions and stuff, it was like Wunjo as like a spear with a flag on it, right? So it was like images of like somebody climbing to the top of the mountain, like planting the flag down, like the flag waving in the air. Or even like when you think of like, you know, like military movies and stuff like that, like when they, you know, at the end of the battle, when they conquer the top of the hill and they plant like the flag into the soil and the flag, yeah. Sorry, it was kind of like this idea of like Wunjo being like the flag that's planted in the top of your goal. It's like, it's like your destination, your target, but also like a sign of victory. So it's very like goal setting, like manifesting type of energy. That's what I was getting for it. But it connected a lot in with this idea of Gungnir being, you know, Odin's spear that never misses its mark. So it's like Wunjo is what you throw at like the goals, the things you're trying to achieve to guarantee that you will accomplish those in the future. It's kind of almost like the idea of like a robo fish, and when you're doing like a shoal of sigils, it was like Wunjo is like the robo fish for your runic magic.
Yeah, that's really good. And I know you were doing a lot of stuff with that, but I've also just always, it's just never a bad thing to add, like, as Odin's spear never misses its mark, so blank. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just good stuff. It's one of those nice call-ins that's pretty easy to do. That's like kind of PGM style, where it's like, I'm aligning myself with the myth. I'm aligning myself with this being. This is me. What about you, Lindsay?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, it kind of is the wish and the ecstatic joy of connection with the one as well, which is really fun to play with. For me, though, it was very much kind of in the mundane plane, really flowing in from the gratitude of Gebo and into the, you know, into little gifts, little joys, you know, the going and journeying next to the river and finding, you know, blackberries and chanterelles, and little concrete joys, which were pretty lovely as a way to, like I said, like sort of flowing the. So many of these rune pairings have been these interesting, you know, it makes sense that that gift flows into joy, but the way that that gratitude for life leads to joy and contentment and a connection to something bigger. It's a nice little reminder. I had much less of like the wishing and much more of the, here we are in this beautiful world. And isn't that a source of joy?
Yeah. Do you want to go a little bit more into the river journey? Cause there's like a bunch of cool stuff that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'll share mine. We were hanging out, by a little part of the Chattahoochee and, wandered down to the river and did the call to the Valkyries, you know, up at the top of some rocks and hollered them out over the river, you know, like good weirdos. And then wandered down to the water, finding blackberries on the way there, stick our feet in the water and actually do the Wunyo journey. And it was, as soon as my journey began, I heard do what needs doing, chop wood, carry water, be a lake. I feel like this was at a point, I mean, everything has been sort of chaotic in the timeline, but it was a point in the timeline where I think there was a lot of fucked up, you know, stuff happening in the country, which is like, yeah. Okay, that doesn't narrow it down, you know, over right. The course of the past 6 months. But it was like, how can we help people? And I heard, do what needs doing, chop wood, carry water, be a lake, the idea of being a resource. And from there, actually saw algaes, both in the trees and in my mind, drawing algaes over people as a protector for those who are kind of fighting for good. And at some point I noticed that like the necklace I'd been wearing had like broken and fallen into the river, little offering. And then, so I gathered up some river water in a bottle that I found and drew algaes on it. And it's now, the opposite of war water. It's peace water or protection water. Can be used as a sort of blessing for anyone who's trying to prevent the cessation of joy.
Yeah.
And we saw a bunch of hawks, which was just like, hey, Freya, what's up?
Hawks. Yeah. And then, so I'll talk about mine too, because it's interesting because my stuff was like, this is like why I posted it, and this is like exactly the stuff that Dave was getting. Because in my journey, Skogel was over the river, like spearfishing. And she was like, put your spear in what you want. And the idea was like, the river is time. Where you're sitting in it is the present. And you can use the spear to hold the thing you want there. And not only, it's like, but it's like also, this is interesting because it's like retrocausal too, right? It's like the Neville Goddard, like the feeling of the wish fulfilled brings the wish. Like if you have the feeling that it's already been done, it is like that knowing that my magic works. It'll make it, it'll manifest it. That has borne out for me a lot. That is often the case. And it was just like a really cool kind of illustration of that. And then I kind of got this sense of like, you know, the river is going to keep going no matter what. And to kind of take solace in the things that are timeless, you know, that are constant, that are dependable, the rivers, the rocks, the trees. And then after that, we saw the kingfisher fly right over us and land like down the river and like kind of sit there. We were like, oh yeah, that's Skogel. And, kind of interesting too, because she was fishing in the journey. Yeah, that was a time where I was like, what can we do about all this? Like, I was having that like Theoden moment where like, what can men do against such reckless hate? Like, what can be done? And it was, the message was like, as it always usually is, it's like, do your own shit. Like, not like in a way, not like in a callous way, but like, take care of your world. Like, you can't, right. You can't do the whole thing. Like, you can't save the whole world. Like, you have to get yourself in a position in your own life to where you can be sovereign.
Yeah. But I do think there was the interesting, that message is part of that is that those of us who are magically operant and on the side of the good guys can throw a lot of protection on the people who are doing stuff way more than, you know, I can't go and physically help every single person in the meat space right now, but I can throw some serious protection on everyone who's doing good stuff and then do what I can, you know, where close to me.
Yeah, for sure. And I would also argue, like, we'll get into it when we talk about Skogel and we talk about my automatic writing, because she has a lot to say about also crushing your enemies. So there is a lot we can do. But I think to not get spun out in the horrors of the timeline is like the message there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one way to do that is to, yeah, that protection, to extend it. And it's like, yeah, it's like, again, giving the runes. Like, when you put algaes over someone who's fighting for a cause that you believe in, you are giving the runes. That's part of doing it. It's like you're going out there, mm-hmm, and you're putting them out into the world. You don't have to, like, sit someone down and force them to listen to you talk about them. You can just do them. Like, yeah. Any more about Wunyo? She was a banner in one of mine, too. It was a banner being held up above, like Skogel was, like, fucking charging forward. And, like, all these Valkyries were behind her, and she was holding up the banner. And it was this idea for me, like, the banner, what I like about the banner is, like, unapologetically demonstrating what you want. Like, not being ashamed of your intentions, not being ashamed of your honest desires, you know? Holding it up and being proud of it and being like, this is what I'm going for. Like, this is my banner to rally around. And I think that's that's too part of it, of like, because I think people, I think right now it's like really helpful for people to see that you can, like, want good things for your life. That may be enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Another thing that's worth sharing about Wunyo, for folks who are interested in dabbling in the runes or in runic magic but don't really know where to start, is I feel like it's a great rune to experiment with in that way, because it's one of the nicest ones. It's one of the ones that I work with the most. It's just very lovely. So it's a great one to, like, draw into your drink and then drink down or infuse into things as a energetic, you know, just little joy vessel. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. It's also a good, I read this on one of these things, and then also, like, was confirmed in a journey, like, yes, do that, where it's like, and now I'm thinking about, like, the banner that, like, rallies people under it. It's like a good binder in a bind rune to, like, pull the energies of all the runes together to, like, hold them. Like, you incorporate Wunyo to, like, get them all, like, Megazord that shit. You know what I mean? Like, they're like,
well, it's funny too, though. Like, it's one of the runes that gets automatically created in, like, a huge majority of bind runes anyways, just because of the shapes of the objects anyways. But, like, that's one of the ones that, like, always ends up showing up whenever you start combining stuff anyways.
Yeah. 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 That's interesting. Yeah. Chicken or the egg shit always with this stuff. Anything else that we want to talk about with that? I feel like I keep remembering things. Like, oh yeah, that was a big part of Wunja. Or do we want to talk about Skuggle real quick for a little bit?
Yeah.
Didn't I just...
I don't know about y'all, but for me, she was like really pretty.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It was funny to go from... is it Skegold who was right before her? Who was like very like goofy and accessible. And Skuggle for me was much more sort of... not like not really standoffish, but in the way that someone who's like beautiful and poised can kind of be intimidating.
Yeah, she was august.
Yes.
Like she, for me, she like the first time she appeared, like a spear rose in the ground, and that she was the spear, but also like. Like a Valknut appeared and she like stepped out of a rift in reality, like from the spear. I can't remember a lot of like the physical characteristics that I put down about her, but yeah, she was very much like again, not austere, but like, yeah, she
had that like a regal kind of,
yeah, man, very queen energy. Yeah.
Yeah. The first image I got of her was actually like a spear being thrown like through somebody and like it went in their body in one side and then like the splatter pattern coming out of the back like formed her like out of mist turned into. Yeah. But I mean, just like my own like weird symbolic database, she was very like, classic Wonder Woman, if that makes any sense, like this warrior princess, like, yeah
regal. She also appeared in one of mine like half covered in blood, which is like kind of just like some Valkyrie shit to do, you know what I mean, like I'm just gonna show up to this party with half blood all over me, like just because that's dope. I think that was a Gabo one, so that's interesting too, kind of the being in two worlds. I did want to read some. Oh, didn't I also just find Skuggle in a poem, Lindsay, that we were talking about? Was it the Hrafngaldr Odins?
Oh, I don't recall.
I want to continue to like talk about when we find them. In the wild, but also like in the sagas, like they'll just kind of be there. They'll be like, yeah, they were all doing this and Skuggle was pouring the mead. Like, and that'll be it, man. But they'll mention them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like we got that one coming up later because, like when we get to Thruther, like I was just randomly reading like a story about Thor and it talks about like when his daughter, who was also a Valkyrie, Thruther, got kidnapped by a dwarf. I'm like, oh, it's just another random appearance.
Fucking dwarves be kidnapping, dude. Yeah, I'm gonna find it in here.
Yeah, but beyond the runes, like Skuggle was the one though that was where like a lot of this the spear magic stuff was coming from. Was like you'd have the rune journey and then she'd show me like a bunch of spear magic stuff. So it was more directed with her, but it was like we kind of talked on it a little bit before, but it was like a lot of that image of like the old classic like bind rune, you know, GAR, which I'm not even sure where the A and the R come from in that, but it's the Gebo on top of Ingwaz. It's like a symbol that's like probably completely new agey, even though it has been on some like historic documents and inscriptions and stuff, but it's generally meant to represent, you know, Odin's spear, Gungnir. But I was talking about like seeing these different variations, and then you posted something that you saw, which was like two gar runes with one above each other with a line connecting them down the middle. And it was crazy because I had seen almost that same exact thing But it was weird because within that pattern, like, you can find a Wunja. Within that pattern, you can find, like, an AWADS. Within that pattern, you can find, an Algis. And it was this, seeing that symbol, but the different rune patterns, like, being brighter than the other, like, depending on the operation. So, like, Issa forming mostly to, like, pin something down. Wunjo forming to use the spear to, to set a goal. The Vanguard symbol showing up to, like, destroy an object. So it was, like, the same symbol, but, like, different parts would brighten up or darken depending on, like, the operation that you were using, like, spear magic for.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah, I remember that now. See, it's crazy. There's so much that's, like, oh, yeah, we had a whole thing about this. There's just been a lot, man. You know what's crazy? I saw a guy with the Gar tattoo at the gym, like, 2 days ago. Or, like, whenever, the last gym time. Maybe it was yesterday. Or the day, like, maybe it was the last time I was at the gym. But, like, I was like, wait, what is that? I know that. And I didn't even fucking remember that that's what it was until you just said it. And I was like, dude, we talked about this for, like, days. I feel like stuff is just being, like, it's interesting, right? Because, like, one of the things we say is, like, is this in your prayer, Lindsay? Like, put the runes in my blood? And it's like, there's a lot of just, like, downloads going on where stuff is just, like, being put into our fields, put into our blood. And sometimes it happens, I think, without a lot of, like, even a conscious understanding of it. It's just like, oh, this makes sense now. So I found the part where Skogul is. And Hrafnagaldr Odin's, which means Odin's Raven Galdr. And it's like a story about, like, right before Heimdall blows the Gjallar horn for Ragnarok, like, what's going on? Like, they go to speak to, like, a giant, like, you know, as you do, they're going to speak to, like, a giantess to, like, hear some prophecies, right? And the only thing she has to say is, like, she begins shedding tears. The gods' host, seated in accordance with Bolverkr's orders, were replete with Seyhrimnir, which is meat from the boar Seyhrimnir. Skogul meted out Nikar's vat with mead onto trays and toast horns. That's it. That's all you get. So we have, like, Skogul serving the mead. It's just those things. It's like, I just wish we had more information. But it's cool because we're also, like, getting the information.
Yeah, and it's been crazy how, whether this was intentional or not, like, we just assembled the list. And we're just like, oh, cool, we're just going to arbitrarily assign them to these two runes at a time. And then somehow, whether that is, like, their inherent function or they've just assumed that function, like, they have been, like, a almost perfect fit for the imagery of, like, whichever two runes that we've paired with them.
Yeah, I want to read some stuff from my automatic writing. Now, that's a good kind of segue into that, because Skogul had some things to say about these runes. And you can read all my automatic writings on the Patreon. I post them, like, before these episodes come out. So that's included as well. I got to get to it here. Okay, she says this. She says, there is great power in these runes. She's talking specifically in this case about Gebo and Wunjo, but, like, obviously all of them too, right? And you have rightly guessed that perhaps I am a harsh guardian of such generosity and joy. Because in the automatic writing, she was kind of like, she was grilling me, dude. Like, what are you going to do with the power of these runes? Are you going to take more than what's yours to take? Like, what are you going to do with it? Because there's people that have gone crazy from this shit. Like, so what are you, like, Fafnir in his greed became a dragon. Like, what are you going to do? And she was grilling me. And so this is her response. There is great power in these runes. and you have rightly guessed that perhaps I am a harsh guardian of such generosity and joy. And this is why. These things we must guard as by the tip of a spear, with all we have, as if backed up against the wall. Because we are. This world will do that. And the real courage of the warrior is to guard their generous spirit and their joyful desire as if against the most insurmountable foe. And then I said, what can we do in such a time as this to guard these things in ourselves and for our companions? She said again, put your spear in what you want and hold it up above the throng, a standard. Don't hide it. The time for hiding is over, gods be praised. We are here from out of the trees in force. And then she gave me some tech about, you know, letting Gabo and Munyo in. You can read that. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But then she says, be filled and allow yourself to fill the world that needs that so dearly. But fight for it too, and guard it, and crush those who would choke it out of you. This is also a joy. Wield the spear that is a spindle, and let us weave a worthy world together, thrust by thrust. And so there's some weaving stuff going on there, like the spear is actually a spindle, right, that weaves. It's like some Norn imagery and Freya. But yeah, so this is going back to kind of what we were talking about with the Wunyo stuff. Like, and that, man, that really reminded me of some lines from, I talk about it in the post I made, but some lines from We Are the Witchcraft, some that Jack Parsons piece, where like, sometimes you're going to have to crush the people that want to choke this out of you. And that, too, is like an act of Wunyo. Like, this is not, this is not all Care Bear shit. Like, there are going to be people that want to crush it out of you to get theirs, or just because they enjoy that, or whatever it is. And this magic can help us there, too.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, sometimes, you know, that victory flag has to be planted through the chest of an enemy first, you know?
Yeah, man. I asked her, who are the Valkyries? And she said, we are the sisters who fight. We are the sound of the battle. We are the strength that holds the hand tight onto the blade and holds the heart to the oath sworn. We give the power to do things you can't do alone, things people say mortals can't do. But more say we give the power to do things only mortals and Valkyries can do together. And we ride. So this is kind of like feeds into the thing we've been talking about too, of like your personal Valkyrie. It's like your some version of, or version, I don't know if that's even the right word, but like, it's your head spirit. It's your holy guardian angel. It's your, whatever you want to call it, you know? Maybe it's your Hamingja. Maybe it's your Disir. Maybe whatever. Like, that you have a Valkyrie that together, these Valkyries allow us to do things that we couldn't do alone. And one of the things they've said too is like this, you can do things that gods can't even do. You're soul in flesh, like you are incarnate. And when you pair with the Valkyrie, when you pair with this spirit, you are able to achieve the highest version of what was woven for you throughout time, accessing. Dude, and we'll get into this time stuff more, but like accessing like versions of yourself from other timelines and lives and stuff, pulling in medicine and pulling in wisdom and pulling in power. Not only that, but like pulling in the power that we've given up in this lifetime and others, you know, these Valkyries. Like, this idea that there's a hero that stands alone is not true. Because a hero is not only bolstered by their community and the people in their lives that support them, but also the spirits that support them. And so this is like a relational thing. This is a collaboration. It's a collab. Right.
Yeah, it goes back to some messages of Gibbo, right? Like, you got to do your own shit, but you are integrated into a greater community of infleshed and non-infleshed beings.
Yeah, I mean, even just, you know, in the Runewalk, like, within our own little group, we're kind of seeing a lot of that stuff too. It's like, how many times have one of us posted something that we're like, I don't know what this means, and then like it means something to like everyone else or one person in specific. It's like we're all kind of weirdly like journeying for each other too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like, and that maybe it's like, I don't know if it was going on already in the Gable stuff. Yeah, no, because one of the Gable things that was in, it was like we were getting when. I know I got some visions that was like, it's important that it's like the four of you, because there was like only four of us doing it at this time. And it was like, we were each sitting on one of the ends of the Gable cross. It was like, but there's all this kind of like war band imagery too, right? Like this ragtag band. I dig that shit.
Yeah. Well, that's what's kind of cool. And we'll get into this as we get into to some of the later runes, is that it does feel like the mission is grow the war band, like very clearly.
Yeah. Cool stuff. Anything else about Skogel? I also have an update I want to give to you, but well, that's not really on topic. Anything? We're good? Yeah. I have a Fehu update that's interesting. Is I had a dream like a week or and some change ago that I had seen a frog with Fehu written on his chest. And like a couple days later at work, I was like pushing a pallet of fruit and a little frog jumped out of it. And I was like, dude, that's a frog. And I ran and grabbed him, and it turned out he's like an invasive tree frog that can't be released. So I was like, well, I'm going to keep him because I'm not going to kill him. And so I got a little buddy now, a new addition to the Sailor household. And it's just interesting. I don't know, man. It's like, here's a familiar. I've been wanting a frog for a long time. I've been thinking about frogs a lot. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but like he's been on my shoulder at the beginning of journeys now. So it's like, hell yeah, I'm going to do some frog magic.
That's dope. Yeah. Yeah, it's great to have a journey buddy.
It's also, it's been a long time since I've taken care of another living being. Like, it's a big deal. And I'm like, oh yeah. Like, I was like kind of ready for this. Like, there's something abundant about like using your own abundance to like better the life of a creature.
Yeah.
Feed them roaches and shit. Isn't that what we
I loved when my dad fed me roaches.
Well, awesome. What else do we talk about at the end of these? Is that it? I was like,
yeah, I mean, I think I would just one thing that's been really cool. You know, it does sound like it's every week that it's just the same, you know, three or four of us, but we have had some folks answer the call to join the war band and become part of the Runewalk and be able to start, like, not feeling like they needed to start at the beginning, just pick up where we are. And it's been really awesome. I'm really grateful for people who want to come and jump in the middle of the deep end and be part of this experiment, because I do think the more people that we have involved, the richer the story becomes. And you know, you can do that by joining the Patreon. It's you know, it's a pretty minimal fee, but if that is, you know, the one thing that's holding you back, you know, let us know, and we can talk about that.
Yeah.
And because I do think it's more important to get as many people who want to be part of this this project be involved.
Jim Barger agrees. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on again. It's always a blast. I'm always look forward to these. And I can't wait to see what the next.
Yeah, and the next two will be really fun too, because we get into the runes that are like directly tied to the Norns, and kind of like a lot of the weird time stuff that's been being sprinkled throughout, like, becomes like almost the main focus, at least for me. I think for a lot of us, that was like the main focus. Yeah. Was,
yeah, it is
a lot of weird timey-wimey stuff. So
absolutely,
it'll be pretty more-y. We'll have a lot more to talk about, I think, in the next two calls.
Yeah, sure. Stuff gets weird.
Yeah, it gets real weird. If it wasn't already.
Yeah. These two are nice runes. And then we move into the really intense, weird ones. Where you do have I think the sneak preview for the next episode is you have a Valkyrie being like, "Ben, fuck you for assigning me these runes." This is tough. How come I got the tough ones?
Yeah.
Or at least that was my personal experience.
Well, I was gonna say, then you have Dave, who's just like fucking grinning.
Yeah, like the next two are probably my two favorite.
He's like a kid in a candy shop, and I'm like, I got COVID and fucking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man, good shit. But they're good. I mean, the impacts were really good. But you know, I had known that there was gonna be. I think in any year-long ritual, there's going to be ups and downs, and there's always going to be, but like sometimes runes are unexpectedly, like we talked about, like it's never what we really expect, right?
Yeah.
These ones.
Sometimes.
A little bit.
Sometimes you live in interesting times.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks again, guys. It's always a blast talking about it, and I look forward to what it's going to bring in the future. Yeah, like Lindsay said, anyone who's interested, you know, join us. This is open. Let's go.
Yeah, explicitly and aggressively open, not just for, you know, people who look a certain way.
Yeah, right. It's important to note.
Yes.
All right, well, y'all have a great night.
Awesome. Take it easy.
You too.
Talk soon.
Bye.